I think it's more the latter. I mean, I think that there are a lot of guys. I mean, it is amazing. Certainly, Ogando is one of the biggest surprises of the year. But I do think that you still have Cruz being healthy, Hamilton being healthy, being such huge forces that for 1 month they can blow the division apart. And I think that's something people keep waiting for.
Last week there was the story of how Josh Hamilton has struggled in day games, and since coming back from the DL, he's something ridiculous like 1-for-33 in the day, and he brought up the blue eyes conundrum with him, that because he has blue eyes, he has a hard time seeing during the day. Evidence would suggest that's somewhat ridiculous. Have you ever heard anyone claim something like that for not being able to bat during the day before?
Well, it's been, I have talked about it with people I've worked for because my eyes, blue-green, they're very, I'm very sensitive to bright light, sunlight. A lot of times I wear special glasses during the daytime, but if I have the sun and light, my eyes water so much I can only do very short, you know, like 30-second hits, and so I understand that entirely. And I've heard from a couple of other players that they occasionally have the same problem. So I really do believe it's there, but I know, speaking from experience, I mean, it's always been a problem for me, and which is why I, most of the time during the daytime I wear special glasses that that tint and cut off the sunlight.
So the Rangers have, I believe, 16 day games left. What do you do with Josh Hamilton if you're Ron Washington and he, you know, last day game he played, he was 0-for-4 with 4 strikeouts?
Well, hopefully he can find some sort of some glasses or something to help him. I mean, some of those sunglasses they now have, the Oakleys and so forth, are absolutely incredible. So maybe they'll work for him. I mean, I think it's entirely possible. I don't think this is a hopeless situation, and I actually think it's great that he's addressed it. I mean, you know, you could get into some very important games down the stretch, played on Saturday and Sunday afternoons, and they're going to need him to be able to see. And I sympathize with him on this. When I read about it, I went, "Oh, I have the same problem exactly." And I know what it's like when your eyes start watering and welling up and so forth. It's very difficult to see. It's also very difficult to concentrate. So I've been through it for a good 10 years of television.
This is Peter Gammons, our weekly baseball visit with him. And you can check him out at sportingnewsradio.com. Also this week, we looked at the numbers of Cliff Lee this month in Philadelphia, which are just outrageous and probably has a lot of Ranger fans thinking, what if they had offered that seventh year? Just logically, though, do you think the Rangers did the right thing by not going with the silly contract and just going in the different direction?
Well, I think it's one of those things where you say, to a guy in his 30s, I mean, if Cliff Lee were 26 or 27, it would be one thing. But he's not. And now the Phillies, I think they figure, look, we've got one or two more shots with this team at winning it all. And it's worth it to us. We can write off 2 or 3 years of that contract, just like the Yankees can write off 3 years of almost any deal they make. And the Phillies are looking. They're one of the four biggest markets in the country. It's a baseball-mad city. They can write off some of those years and just say, okay, if we get 4 really good years out of Cliff Lee and win 2 more world championships, then the contract's worth it.
So Philadelphia is facing a bit of an issue with Roy Oswalt. He feels like he may have thrown his last pitch, so that great starting rotation of 4 is now down to maybe 3 for the rest of the season. Does that hinder them at all, or do you think those 3 are just so good that they won't skip a beat?
Oh, I think they're so good, and particularly Halliday is such a horse that they end up winning. But, you know, the fact is that they've come up with 3 kids out of their farm system that have given them a tremendous boost. And that's really been very important to them. And I think they look now, there's still the issue of, okay, if Bradlich isn't healthy, if Madsen isn't healthy, You know, what do we do? And you know, right now, I think that they're going to probably sit until the end of the month and say, okay, we'll see what Bastardo can do, and we'll see what they clearly have decided that Worley is going to be one of their starters. So they're still very good. And I think that one of the things that's happened with the Phillies is that because they're an older team, that I think the first half, they really haven't hit very much. You know, there's been kind of an up and down offense, but they have that thing about, you get Utley healthy, you get Rollins healthy, all of a sudden you start to take off in the second half. And I can see it happening. I really can. I just think that they're going to score enough runs. Ibanez came up with a huge game-winning home run last night for them. So, you know, to me, they're clearly the team to beat. But I think that the one thing they have to determine, if they're not going to get Lidge and Nazem back, do they dare go with the kids in the bullpen, Stukes and Bastardo, or do they go out and get one veteran? Do they spend what it takes to get Heath Bell or someone like that? I don't think that Francisco Rodriguez would ever work out there, and I'm not sure the Mets would trade him there. But that's a big question between now and the 31st, because I think the only way the Phillies can lose before the World Series is if their bullpen caves in on them. They blow a couple of 3-1, 3-2 leads. And I think that's what Ruben Ibarra has to address and think out between now and the end. But I'll say this. I really think Charlie Manuel is one of the best evaluators of any manager in the game. And I think that's a great advantage that Philadelphia has. I mean, he was absolutely convinced that Worley could pitch, that Stukes could pitch, that Bastardo could pitch. And now all of a sudden they're the talk of the town. And he deserves a lot of credit for that.
Well, Peter, we appreciate the time. Have a good 4th of July weekend, and we'll do it again soon.
Okay, thanks a lot.
All right, we'll see you. That's the great Peter Gammons. You can hear more of his fine work at sportingnewsradio.com. Now, see, Killer, you could have done some engineering work there. You could have EQ'd Peter's line from Boston somehow.
I don't think I could have fixed that at all.
Yeah, what was he doing? It sounded like first he was marching in a parade.
Then he was on a train.
Then he was on a train. Then he was under aerial assault by some enemy air force.
He was fighting a demon.
I was fearing that he was hit by a bus at one point during the question.
Yeah. It was so loud.
And then he was in the very small lobby of a building, it sounded like, that nobody else was in.
Or did his hike take him through a tunnel and he stopped in the tunnel, or was he in the bathroom?
See, that's what I thought. I thought it was a park restroom that he walked into.
He was sitting on the can finishing up the interview with you guys.
I mean, the only thing we didn't hear was the flush. That's what I'm thinking.
Did you hear something else?
No.
Kerplunk?
Well, I heard not that, but I heard, you know, cars passing and footsteps. I didn't mean bathroom stuff.
You think George Michael was in there?
You know what? Next time we're going to have to get Peter Gammons hooked up with a video cam so that we can webcam watch him.
That would be great.
So we all know where he's going and where his little trip takes him each morning.
See the semis before they pass him. All right, 7:05 here on Sports Radio 1310. The Ticket. Up next, Muse in the News with Killer.
Someplace Donnie doesn't want to go swimming.
Okay.
Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket, are basking in the glow of the Mavs' first ever NBA title. And we celebrate it by going wall-to-wall with live coverage of the NBA draft.
Rudy Fernandez to Dallas, huh? Very interesting.
It's a great move all the way around for the Mavericks.
Mavs got a good top player, man.
Let's take it to the Mavericks press conference. Donnie Nelson is talking to the press.
We're in a playoff championship push mode, and so we think the player that we acquired is going to help us a little bit more than, you know, one of the younger guys.
It's all about now, and it's all about repeating.
Breaking Mavs news first guaranteed on the official Mavs Radio 1310 station. Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Heard also on 99.5 HD.
Zero cash down and big savings. That's what you'll find right now at the Q Chrysler Jeep Dodge Hail Sale. It's Alexis, and yes, most Q Chrysler Jeep Dodge vehicles were affected by the recent hailstorm, but their loss is your gain. Buy your new vehicle after it's been repaired, and they'll make you a great deal. Buy it before the repair, and you'll save big. Choose from over 40 Jeep Wranglers in stock and hail damage discounted. How about zero cash down and get a 2011 Chrysler 200 for just $259 a month? A 2011 Jeep Compass for $399. $219 a month, or a 2011 Dodge Ram, the truck of Texas, for $389 a month. Just go to MyQCars.com for all the details on these and several other great offers. Remember, you'll get a free service loan car no matter where you bought your car. Come by Q Chrysler Jeep Dodge today, conveniently located on Highway 183 in Irving, or at MyQCars.com, and see how a few small things can save you big money. At Q Chrysler Jeep Dodge, quality drives us.
Hi, my name is Dina, and I want to tell you about my experience with the most popular cleanse in America, the 21-Day Body Makeover. By day four, I was sleeping soundly all night. I've not slept as well since elementary school. I lost 11 pounds and boosted my metabolism. I was taking an anti-inflammatory weekly for my sciatic issues. Now I no longer need to. I don't have cravings for comfort food like pizza. And most importantly, I improved my good eating habits.
For a limited time, save $27 on the 21-Day Body Makeover by entering Fast Fat Loss in the coupon code.
It's the Users here with some exciting news from our friends at D&M Leasing.
D&M Leasing has secured special used car lease financing with options and savings that are not available anywhere but D&M Leasing.
D&M Leasing makes it easier than ever to fit a new or pre-owned vehicle into your budget.
Now more than ever, D&M Leasing is the easiest place to get your new or pre-owned vehicle. No down payment, payments 40 to 50% lower than buying a vehicle.
Any make, any model, and they take your old car in trade. What more could you ask for? Oh yeah, they'll even deliver your car to your home or office.
Don't forget the extra special deals and giveaways to fans of D&M Leasing on Facebook and followers on Twitter.
Just pick up the phone and dial 35-LEASE from any local area code. That's 35-L-E-A-S-E, or visit online dmautoleasing.com.
The call is free. Not calling will cost you thousands.
We make leasing easy.
All sports, all the time. Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Daddy, do we have a foundation problem?
No, McKinley, we don't, but many people do and need our help. That is why Daddy has to work so much. Hi, I'm Tom Kidd, engineering graduate of Texas A&M and owner of Structured Foundation Repairs. Our number is 972-484-1200. When homeowners first realize they might have a foundation problem, their first reaction is fear. Most have heard horror stories from friends and relatives of bad repairs and companies not responsive to warranty calls, and so they're concerned about being able to find a contractor they can trust. That is why I formed Structured almost 10 years ago. We wanted to be a company that homeowners could call that would treat them with honesty and integrity, offer a free, comprehensive analysis of their foundation, and only recommend repairs that are actually needed, not just sell them some peers. After repairing over 5,000 homes and being honored with the Aggie 100, I know we've done just that. So if you want some honest answers to your foundation questions, please follow the advice of my daughter, McKinley.
Call my daddy at Structured Foundation Repairs.
At 972-484-1200 or click structuredfoundation.com.
Stick it up your tailpipe!
Several new problems in this report to service of NorthTexasHondaDealers.com. In Arlington, I-20 westbound at Green Oaks, we have an accident blocking the left lane. Irving, northbound Loop 12 at Highway 114, a disabled vehicle has things slow from I-30. Dallas, northbound 35 at 8th Street, new accident. Same thing in Bridgetown 75 at Renner Road. Still working on the details, but we do have a report of an accident. Traffic is brought to you by Subway. Avocado is now at Subway, and it goes with everything, especially the Subway turkey and bacon avocado. Grab the green while you can for a limited time, only at participating locations. Subway, eat fresh. For the North Texas Tollway Authority, I'm Alexis with the tickets to get up your tailpipe traffic.
I'm Rich Phillips. Welcome relief for the Rangers next on the Ticket Ticker.
Okay.
The Home Depot's Red, White, and Blue Savings event is going on now with savings all over the store. Like $5 off gallon cans of select Behr, Glidden, and Martha Stewart Living paints and stains. Which means you can make your walls look a whole lot better while your budget looks pretty much the same. You only have till July 4th at the Red, White, and Blue Savings event. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. Via mail-in rebate, U.S. only. See store for details.
Sports news first, guaranteed.
Ticket Ticker!
A terrific pitching night all the way around for the Rangers. Ticker brought to you by North American Spine and Randy Essenberg, the Father's Attorney.com. Colby Lewis dominant for six innings. He gives up two runs in the seventh and departs with two outs. But the bullpen troika of Darren Oliver, Mark Lowe, and Neftali Feliz shut it down the rest of the way. And the Rangers beat the Astros 3-2. Ron Washington may be most pleased with the eighth inning strikeout of Hunter Pence by Mark Lowe.
It's huge. That was big right there.
And he did it in three pitches. And when I gave him the ball, I just told him, I need you to get this one guy. And he did it.
And the game ends on a strike him out, throw him out double play. Feliz strikes out Brett Wallace, and Yorvit Torrealba throws out the stealing Carlos Lee. Rangers and Astros will wrap up their series in Houston tonight at 7:05. The NBA free agent period doesn't seem likely to open tomorrow because it appears a lockout is imminent. The NBA labor deal runs out tonight. The two sides have not reported much progress of late. The NHL free agent signing period does start at 11 o'clock Dallas time tomorrow morning. The Stars will be forced to be players even without an owner. That's because the NHL CBA not only has a salary cap, but a salary floor, and the Stars are about $10 million below that. Sports Radio 1310, the ticket, weather, sunny skies, 100 today, 82 right now at DFW Airport. The ticket will service at Craig's Collision Centers. They're ready to help if your car was damaged in the recent hailstorm. Craig's will restore your car to like new and is referred by major insurance companies. Log on to craigscollision.com to find one of the six DFW locations or schedule an appointment. Our next ticket ticker is at 7:30. I'm Rich Phillips, reminding the P1s to be one. Tune us in, turn it up. Keep it on Sports Radio 1310. To the ticket.
This hour of the Dunn and Miller Show brought to you by Driver Select.
Use your cell phone to maintain your P1 status even when you're not by the channel. Text JOIN to 44939 now to sign up for ticket text messaging. A P1 public service from Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket.
Coming up at 7:40, we've got some funny audio to listen to. At 7:55, a review of the HBO documentary Fire and Ice, McEnroe versus Borg, and something Bjorn Borg said during that documentary will lead us into our 8:15 discussion here in 1 hour. What's the best way to find your passion in life? First, it's Muse in the News, brought to us by D&M Leasing and All-Pro Foundation Repair, and sitting in today for the vacationing Gordon Keith. From our engineering department, it's Killer Kellison. Hi again, Killer.
Good morning, boys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
Really great to be here, you know.
Okay.
I didn't really start this. Can I restart?
No, that's the thing. In live radio, you really don't get a chance to restart.
Have you ever done a news segment before?
No. I've helped produce the news segment a couple of times.
But you've never delivered one.
I've never delivered a news segment.
Have you ever done radio?
I've never done radio.
Don't listen to Fernando.
Just let's check out some of the scores tonight.
And yes. And you'll admit that your strength is not necessarily storytelling.
No, my strength is definitely not storytelling.
And here, delivering the news, you kind of have to tell a bunch of little stories.
Yes. I'll be honest, I am very nervous right now.
I don't be nervous. We're buds, right?
But the standard has been set so high. I'm in a position of failure because I had Donovan yesterday, mm-hmm. and I got Robert tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
TC had nothing to worry about the day before. He came in, the bar was set extremely low.
Right.
And now Donovan set it up here, and I know Robert's going to put it up there, and I'm going to deliver just like TC, and it's going to make me look like butt.
Let's find out. In 15 minutes, we will know. You may be brilliant.
I got to do 15 minutes?
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Bitch.
All right. So, you guys know what's been going on with John Rollo.
With who?
With John Wiley Price.
Yeah.
How
he's
the
been
FBI,
a subject of
yeah, we've heard about that.
Yeah, the FBI raided his house on Monday.
Blake.
Well, they discovered in a safe in his house a little over $100,000.
Whoa, cash?
Mm. Cash.
Wow.
And they said this is always a red flag because you keep that much cash on, there's something going on. Well, his attorney said they can explain every penny of it, but didn't explain any of it. Attorney, I don't know his first name, is Rafkind.
He's the guy that looks like Norm.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
really?
Yes, he's the attorney. Yeah.
Price came out and said he makes $126,000 a year. He's been doing this job for 26 years, so that's why he has that much money.
He doesn't keep his money in a bank.
I guess not. You know,
keeps it at home.
One of his two houses in the area. You know?
Right.
They're also, one of the reasons why they're investigating him is the 2009 Kwanzaa Fest. They raised close to $1 million, but they can't tell you where $930,000 of that dollar, that money went. So there's money missing, and they can't explain where it went to.
Yeah, I saw in the news last night where a police officer was interviewed. He was anonymous. And he said that he was basically forced to work Kwanzaa Fest for years and years and years, but never got paid for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, the vendors at Kwanzaa Fest were always charged a fee for security on top of what they had to pay to be a part of it.
Yeah.
So they were paying for security, but security wasn't getting paid, so someone was pocketing that money. Yeah. Was it JWP?
Mm. Okay, that's my story on that one. All right, Mark Cuban has stepped up. After the victory in Miami, everybody goes a little bit crazy. Everybody has a little bit of fun. Some people went way too far and committed some major crimes. This lady was attacked and raped outside Jay Black's Feel Good Lounge over off of Henderson Avenue.
Yeah, we heard about that story.
Well, Cuban has stepped up and put another $20,000 into finding the people that did it.
Reward money. Good.
He's stepping up. He's saying she's just a Mavs fan, and he needs to support his fans.
Good. I'm glad he's doing that. That's great that he's doing it.
Yeah. I love Mark Cuban.
Do you?
And and I believe someone else was offering $10,000, so maybe it's total $30,000.
It's actually $35,000 now.
Okay.
Because they had got it up to $15,000, so now with Mark's extra $35,000 to find the bastards who did that.
And apparently they're looking for three. Yeah, sure. You can say that.
Okay.
Three guys, right?
Yes.
Three guys attacked one girl at 2 in the morning. Wow. God, I hope they find those guys.
It's not cool.
You heard it, kids. Killer himself. All right. It's not cool.
So Jerry can't sell the naming rights to Cowboy Stadium, right?
Right.
Nobody wants to buy it. Would you buy...
Or at least no one will meet his price.
Correct. Would you buy the naming rights... Would you buy the naming rights to a classroom in Dallas if you had the chance?
What's the school?
Any of the schools.
Oh, like DISD is going to do
any
this
DISD.
The same,
they're talking about money? Selling the naming rights to auditoriums, stadiums, classrooms.
Like Dr. Pepper Room 118B.
Yeah. Or Dr. Pepper Field, Coca-Cola Auditorium.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea for the DISD. I don't know that the company gets a lot of return for their dollar, but maybe a stadium.
Yeah.
I don't know about a classroom.
Would you guys pony up together and have Musers Field?
Sure. Maybe.
Or Musers Court or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, we may do that.
Be a big sponsor.
What's it going to cost us?
They talk about $10,000 for a room to rename a classroom.
Yeah. So just a classroom? So what's a gym going to cost?
Oh, I don't know. It's DISD. How much goes to John Wiley Price?
Oh, wow. Killer.
$10,000 for a classroom?
Yeah, up to $10,000. So you might be able to get like a little elementary class for like $1,000.
But are you really going to have any impact on those kids? Are they going to remember and patronize your business when they're old enough to spend?
And what if they hate that class?
Right.
Would they not want to buy any of your merchandise?
And what is the value there? It's not as if Channel 8's going to be, hey, we're live here from the
from our classroom.
Oscar Mayer first grade room. Yeah, I don't know. I'll say no, killer.
I thought that was a good idea.
Any place they're going to have an event, an auditorium, a gym, a stadium, that makes sense.
How about a cafeteria?
Yeah.
The Craig Miller cafeteria?
I don't think I'd get anything out of that.
Yeah. Okay, going to Boston. How long... If you saw a dead body in the water, how long do you think it...
In a water?
In the water.
Oh.
If there's a woman floating in a pool, how long do you think she sits there dead?
Well, she'll be dead forever.
Well, I mean, how long before she's discovered? I'm sorry.
Oh.
I can't word questions either.
Okay. Well, I guess it depends. Is it a high traffic area?
It's a public pool.
Okay.
So it's open every day.
I wouldn't think any more than an hour or two.
How about 2 days?
Oh, my gosh.
People were swimming around her?
Yes. On Sunday afternoon, 36-year-old Marie Joseph was babysitting her neighbor's 9-year-old son at the public pool at Veterans Memorial Pool in Lafayette Park, Boston. 2 days later, after the little 9-year-old boy went to a lifeguard and said she never came back up from the bottom, 2 days later they discovered her floating in the water as they opened the pool.
Okay, so wait, when did the kids say that?
He said
the
Sunday afternoon.
The day it happened.
The day it happened.
And they never really looked for her.
They never looked for her at all. So they close the pool. Nobody knows she's in there. They open the pool the next day. Nobody notices. They close it that day. Nobody notices. They open it the next day. Nobody notices. They close it again, and they reopen it. And they go, oh, there's a dead body in the pool.
I find that impossible to believe. I'm not accusing you of making this story up. I just can't imagine... the guy who opens the pool and you walk in, don't you look at the pool or clean the pool
you
or
skim it? You know?
Yeah.
Like, apparently what happened is she was going down the water slide and hit her head when she came off the slide, knocked her unconscious, and she drowned. So.
I remember when I was a kid, like at the old McCree swimming pool in Dallas, about once an hour, they blew the whistle and everybody had to get out of the pool and they'd walk around the perimeter to look. And I always thought, well, it's been an hour, so that person's dead by now, right? They're still in there? But I guess they at least they cleaned the corpse out at least for us so we could get back to swimming.
Right. Right.
Didn't have a good buddy, I guess.
No, buddy system, we believe in that.
Yes. George, are you a big Glenn Beck fan?
I know who he is, certainly. I don't know if I'm a big fan of his.
Well, you guys might be neighbors.
Really?
He's in an interview recently with Governor Rick Perry. He dropped the hint that he might be moving to the great state of Texas, which would be bringing 150 jobs because his little Maya. I had momentum and I lost it again. Come on! I'm
so unsure of what you're saying.
So, he might be moving down to the great state of Texas. So
from
New York.
Okay.
What happened recently? He and his family were attacked in I have this. Oh, Bryant Park in New York.
Because of who he is?
Just
because it was a random attack.
It was a random attack on his family. But he says there's nothing like an attack to move your family. So,
Dallas?
Dallas and he got his start in Houston. So, but I wouldn't be surprised to see him up here in Dallas.
Yeah, Big Dan Bennett said something that very well could happen. Maybe he's going
Big
to be
Dan
working with us.
Maybe he could be your neighbor.
Is he still on our sister station?
Yes.
All right.
He's still up there. All right.
Wow, he could be working when we move down to Victory. He might be working out of our studios.
That's the thought, yes.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Boy, he'd big time us, wouldn't he?
Yeah, he would have no time for us.
Would you guys pull a Daryl and Carlo on him?
What is that?
Like a small...
prank him and try to tick him off? I don't think so, because, man, he blows his stack. Even worse than Daryl and Carlo. Oh, Daryl and Carlo.
Yeah, that's always a hard name to say.
Mm-hmm.
Always.
Always. All right.
How do you feel? We're at kind of the midway point, a little past the midway point. Are you feeling pretty good about your...
Sometimes I'm having trouble keeping my stories going, but we've always had that problem with me. I think I'm delivering some fun stuff, at least.
Yeah, I think it's been good so far. Are you as nervous as you were 10 minutes ago?
No. I'm getting more relaxed.
Good.
So I do feel like we're in an old covered wagon, though. It's a little bumpy along the way.
Bumpy.
Might need some shocks.
I need a lot of work. I admit that.
But the content's there.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. You guys have been to JFK, the airport up in New York, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Well, did you guys know that they have trouble with turtles?
No.
The Diamondback Terrapin, because it's surrounded by marshland up there, they like to go on the track, or on the... Runways.
Runway.
Tracks. I was thinking trains again. Sorry.
There you go.
Well, yesterday, about 6:45 in the morning, they saw a turtle on the runway, so they sent someone out to get it and move it off, put it in safety. A couple hours, like not even an hour later, there's like 150 turtles on the same runway.
Wow.
They had to shut down that part of JFK.
Can it blow out a tire on an airplane?
I think it could do a lot worse than blow out a tire. When you got 150 turtles on there and you're trying to land or take off...
Don't like speed bumps.
Yeah. Be really really bumpy. But, this is almost as bad as a hemorrhoidectomy story.
I don't follow.
It's that story I had to read for Gordon during the...
Like 2 years ago?
No, this... When Fernando went on break during the winter vacations and stuff, he made me read a story about a woman. With the vaginal gas and hemorrhoidectomy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a very uncomfortable story.
As this segment has become very uncomfortable.
All right, Charlie Sheen.
Okay, we're moving to entertainment news.
Entertainment news.
A little energy there, okay.
Charlie Sheen came out and said in 1989, during the filming of the movie Major League, He took steroids for about 6 to 8 weeks. So he was a roid monkey as he played the Wild Thing.
Just
to be more like a baseball player, huh?
I guess so. I mean,
what he's done to his body.
That's one of his better characters I think he's ever been in. I really.
How many major leagues did they make?
They made three.
The first one was good. I never saw the other one.
The second one, you can tell it was a sequel, and the third one was Scott Bakula.
That was to the minors, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was horrible.
Yeah. It was.
First one was greatness.
Yeah. And it got slowly worse, and then it got really bad. So.
What do you think of Charlie Sheen these days, Killer?
You know, I actually followed him for like a week and just got annoyed and stopped following him.
On Twitter?
Yeah, it just wasn't worth it.
Killer's very active on Twitter.
I like Twitter.
Killer will throw out the hot sports opinion on you.
Yeah.
What are you, Killer 1310?
Yes, Killer 1310.
Okay.
So I enjoy Twitter. Twitter's fun. That's my commercial for Twitter. Twitter's fun. So, next story. How much more time do I got?
Just about 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Okay, good, good. So yesterday you guys were talking to Donovan about learning to swim.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like him. I barely know how to swim.
Really?
I can do like the breaststroke, but I sink.
So do you panic if you're in
water?
Like,
doesn't sound like a good breaststroke.
The Unticket.
This week, so we have special guest stars filling in for him each day. TC joined us Tuesday. Donovan yesterday, tomorrow Robert Wolanski from the Dallas Observer, and today from our engineering department, it's Killer Kellison.
Good morning, boys.
Hey again there, Killer.
Hey, thanks for having me in today. Really appreciate it.
You're coming off a very successful appearance in the Observation Deck and Muse in the News, and now you host the 840 Bit.
Yes, this is my little contribution to bad radio. Not bad radio, the show, but the horrible radio overall.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So... this is my second interview I've ever done in my entire life. First was Pat Sajak.
How did you get a hold of Pat Sajak?
Dan McDowell asked me to go down and interview Pat Sajak and Vanna White one day. So
you just went down and you had access to them?
Yeah.
They
got me on a list and I walked in and I was in this little green room waiting for him. We got Vanna on the air with the guys and then I interviewed Pat Sajak.
Cool.
I got him to say, have a merkin of a day, boys.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't think he knew what merkin meant. So.
How bad a looking person, by the way.
Oh, man. She's like, I think she was 50, mm-hmm. and she was hot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's like she's held up really well.
Mm-hmm.
But she was really tiny.
Was she checking out to kill her a little bit?
Yeah, maybe. But they were both really small. To be honest with you, like Pat Sajak's maybe like 5'5 or something, I think.
Thank you for being honest with us.
Yeah. I need to be honest.
Year?
It's probably 06, 07.
And then this?
This one is, I want to say 09, 010. It's when the Yankees won their last World Series.
Pretty recent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I went down to the ballpark and I was going to try to interview Jorge Posada. But that fell through because he wouldn't talk to me since I didn't schedule any time with him.
Hmm.
So my goal was to try to interview him go as long as I can, go as many topics as I could, trail off if I could, just have fun and just see how long he would sit there and let me interview him. The clip that we have was originally 12 minutes long.
Jeez.
Nick Swisher sat there with me for 12 minutes.
Oh my gosh.
And just kept, and he started, we just chatting back and forth.
Did he know the bit?
No. He didn't know. I asked him if he had a couple minutes to sit down and talk to me, and I was able to stretch it out for about 12 minutes. I think we cut it down to about 7.5.
Okay.
So, and I
don't have to hear all 7.5 minutes.
No.
Okay,
That would be death.
So it's not a good interview?
No. Going in, I knew it wasn't going to be good.
Has this been played on the air before?
No. It's never been on the air.
Man, let's play a fanfare. This has never aired Killer live... Or at least taped with Nick Swisher.
Yes. So, without further ado, can we go ahead and go
after
to
5 minutes of ado?
After 5 minutes of ado, can we go ahead and play it now?
Yeah,
sure.
Thanks.
All right, bro. Fire away.
So, all right. Can I sit here?
I'll jump up if they come back. Well, first off, my name's Killer.
Oh, okay. Nice to meet you, bro.
Nice to meet you, man. Big fan, man. I've been watching you since you were in Oakland and stuff. You remember when you had the beard?
Yeah.
Was it like the pencil-thin Abe Lincoln?
Dude, I've had so many different facial hairstyles, you know, but when you come over here, it's pretty straight up and down, man. No facial hair, that's it.
Well, I've seen them pull off the Mattingly. Like, Giambi had the Mattingly last year.
Yeah, with the stash?
Yeah, the porn stash.
I just don't know if that stash is just going to work on this lip, dude. I just don't see myself having that.
You can try it, man.
maybe.
Add power to your pop, man, or pop to your power, you want to.
Somebody's guaranteeing me 30 bombs, 35 bombs, I might do a mustache.
Well, it might be
looking like an idiot like that. I don't know.
It might be a different type of bomb that you get with a porn stash, you know? Okay, you've played in Oakland.
Uh-huh.
Now you're in New York. You played in Chicago.
Right.
Chicago and New York, great places to play, obviously.
Correct.
Because so much tradition just in the cities themselves.
Right.
So would you say that out of all of them, Oakland's the biggest trash place that you played in? Not the ballpark, but the fans. Just the city itself was just kind of crappy compared to the other two.
I wouldn't say crappy. That's kind of harsh.
You hear my shake voice?
Yeah, you've got shake voice. You're obviously very nervous. That was a laborious question that you asked. And yet, I think from the get-go, when you said, "Hi, my name's Killer," I think he gets a kick out of you. It sounds like he gets a kick out of you.
Yeah, a little chemistry and kind of a conversational tone at the beginning of that.
Yeah. See, I was prepared for him to be a douche, be a jerk. I mean, I became a Swisher fan after this.
Seems like a nice guy.
Yeah. So I always root for him now, even though he's a Yankee.
Even though he gave you shake voice.
Yeah, I was real nervous.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, I definitely have to say each city is different in their own way.
Really?
You know, Oakland's just kind of, I was never really in downtown Oakland. So I really couldn't say what it's like because I don't really know much about it.
Yeah.
Trying to think, Chicago's a great city, man.
Yeah.
A lot of things to do there. But then, you know, kind of start from the bottom and work your way up to the top.
Yeah.
And obviously New York, man, it feels like no one ever sleeps there. And so there's always something to do there all the time.
You going out there and partying and stuff?
No.
You're just doing, you go in.
Nope, I'm just chilling, bro. What I do out the field is to me.
That's cool. Let's see, I got my beard question in there. Okay, let's go with the hair thing real quick. Because I know you did the, not locks for hair, it was
Pantene.
Pantene.
Yep.
Did Pantene. When you were doing it, because I did it a while back, a couple years ago, when I was growing it out, it became like a helmet on top and a mullet in the back. It was really bad. It's like it was hard to keep clean and stuff.
Right.
I mean, what helped you keep going? Is it because your grandmother and stuff?
It's at the time, man. You just got so used to just having long hair, man. And I wasn't much of a guy like getting haircuts at the time, so I just let it grow out. I let it grow for a full year and, got to that length. And after it got to that point, man, it was so long that it almost started to be just kind of a hassle. So,
you ever let anybody braid it and stuff, play around with it?
No,
girls or anything?
No, I didn't braid it. Just kind of let it rock. I did the ponytail a bunch.
Yeah.
Because that was just the easiest way. I mean, I wake up in the morning, throw it a ponytail, and then you're out the door.
Did you use Johnny as like an inspiration right there?
No.
Because he had that whole caveman thing going on.
Johnny had nothing to do with it.
See, I'm not very good at this. You're my second interview ever.
All right.
My first one I ever did was with Pat Sajak.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, okay, I guess third, because I got Vanna the same day.
Right.
She's like pencil thin, man. She's like so skinny.
I would
definitely. Even at 50, she's super hot, man. So, okay. Whenever you're getting like ready for your games and stuff, like you're getting a little juiced up right there. Little cans of Skull. Was that wintergreen? What is like one of the real rituals
stop it there.
That you
did,
do?
Did he get real tense when you said you're getting juiced up?
Yeah, what are you doing, Killer?
Oh, he was getting some dip out. So.
Yeah, but in baseball, that juiced up implies he's roiding up.
You know, I was so nervous. I don't think I even noticed if he got tense or anything. I was just barreling through everything. I had a notepad. Every question I was going to ask and every story I wanted to get into was on this notepad.
Mm-hmm.
You hear me flipping
through
it.
Okay, that's enough. Yeah. Let's get back to the interview.
I saw you taping up your bat and stuff, getting ready to go in there.
I just got some brand new bats in today, so I taped those up. And there's nothing really... normally, the biggest thing I do is I make sure I take a shower after BP.
Yeah.
And then just get ready for the game. But, no, I'm not much. I don't have to have, like, chicken or something. Or I don't have to, I know exactly what I'm going to wear that day and this and that, And then, I haven't really changed up my look on the wristbands and this and that. I wear a sleeve on my right arm and two wristbands and I'm ready to rock.
So you don't, like, get stoked up? Like, for me, like, in my little intramural leagues and all that crap that I do, I sit there before the game, I put the iPod on for like 45 minutes or an hour, you know.
Yeah, we got music blasting in here and this and that.
Well, you got the NLCS going on right now, so you're pretty intent in that one. Covered the
it was
like
a video
hierarchy of places that you played in. What's one of the places that you don't like to visit? Because I've been to like Kansas City.
I'll tell you what, Kansas City's
ballpark
town.
Is awesome, but I didn't
town.
Like that. I didn't like St. Louis.
Never been there.
Really?
Never been.
Don't go, man. There's a reason why it's called Missouri instead of Missouri.
I don't know, man. It's just, you know, I think any city that you go to, man, you know, you're so blessed and privileged to go to those cities and do what you do. Even if the city is bad, there has to be at least one or two good spots where you can go and either get your dinner or lunch or whatever you're going to do.
You got it pre-planned every time you go someplace?
Pretty much, man. I mean, you know, been around. It's been my fifth year.
And, yeah.
So, you know, I know the spots that I want to go to.
Okay.
You know, I know people in those spots.
You got friends on other teams and stuff that you go hang out with and stuff?
Yeah, sometimes. You know, it just depends.
Okay. The last question I got for you. Mm-hmm. It's second to last.
All right.
Because I'm going to ask you about your boots real quick. Because they got those skulls on there. Mm-hmm. Where'd you get those at, man?
They're actually a gift.
Oh, yeah?
AJ Burnett.
Oh, really? So that's a pretty badass gift. Mm-hmm. Okay, now it's the last question. I'll leave you alone.
Uh-huh.
Okay. You seem like a pretty fun-loving guy.
Right.
I've seen, like, where you, in the locker room, you're kind of... You're the most jovial.
Right.
You kind of break up the tension and stuff. And you've done that at every team you've been on, from the Abe Lincoln beard. And
right.
I love that beard. I tried to grow one. I just look... I got one of that pudgy face, so it looks rounded off. So, but you got that nice jawline right there, so it's nice and tight. I just look like a giant Santa Claus, man. I can't... Facial hair, if it's not a goatee, it's got to be like a Fu Manchu.
Yeah.
So, but, man... I'm trying to remember where I was going with that. Okay, all right. So if I were to like give you three movies,
mm-hmm.
okay,
oh, gosh,
they all came out this last year and stuff. Now these three movies, which ones would you most likely be inclined to basically load on your iPod and watch on the plane?
All right.
You've got Slumdog Millionaire. I didn't really like that one. It was okay. It was too artsy for me. You know, Wall-E. It's animated,
right?
So, and then Step Brothers.
Okay, I'd put Step Brothers on first.
Okay,
I'd put Wall-E on second because I'm a huge Pixar fan.
You can't go wrong with them, but
no. See, that's the thing. I think, you know, one of these days I'd like to get that chance to maybe, you know, go on and be the voice of one of those people's on one of those movies. I think that'd be an absolute blast. I think that'd be fun. And then Slumdog Millionaire, I wouldn't have on there at all.
Have you seen Step Brothers?
Okay, stop.
Like, one of my favorite scenes is that.
Stop. I don't really want to break anything down. I just can't take any more of the interview.
He wasn't a bad subject.
I was a bad interviewer.
But you were kind of a bad interviewer, yeah.
Kind of?
Yeah, you had some decent ideas in there. And you had some rapport with him.
I just need more practice.
Yeah, well, sure. Of course you needed some practice.
You could have tightened it up.
Yeah.
Made it more interesting.
Yeah.
Made it more enjoyable for the listener. You could have done those things.
But I didn't.
No.
I want to go back and interview him again.
Yeah, we won't air it.
Yeah, Killer, that was really good. We appreciate that for the 840 bit this morning.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
I hope I delivered something.
That's Killer, riding shotgun with us. Get ready, Kevin James is coming up at 9.
The Unticket.
It's the Corner, brought to us by the Snoring Center and Dallas Dodge Chrysler Jeep. Gordo's on vacation this week. Killer Kellison from engineering has been sitting in for him. Nice job today.
Good morning, boys.
Good morning again, Killer. You don't have to say good morning to us every time.
You say it like every 10 minutes.
Thanks for having me here. I really appreciate it. It's been great.
Well, Killer, we have a very special guest here in Gordo's Corner today. The longtime star of the great sitcom, The King of Queens, and now he is... the star of the new movie about to be released, Zookeeper, joining us in studio. It's the great Kevin James.
Wow.
Good morning.
Wow. Good morning to you, and good morning one more time from Killer.
Thanks, Kevin.
You got it.
Now, Kevin, George here has been talking about Zookeeper for weeks.
Wow. I so appreciate that, George.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
I've called it a game changer because since I started seeing the previews with my 11-year-old, who, by the way, is up here for like the first time ever. Because he's your biggest fan. I tell you, I've made a fool of myself. We've seen some other movies in this show, the preview of this, And I'm like laughing out loud at I've never laughed at previews before, really.
That's a good sign.
And I'm big into animal humor. I think you're hilarious. So, yes, I think next Thursday the game is going to be changed with Zookeeper.
Well, I thank you. Thank you so much. But it's going to have to I think it opens Friday.
Oh, is it Friday?
Yeah.
I thought it was July. What's July 8th? Is that Friday?
No, yeah, it's Friday. So So you changed the game a day early. So.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. That's okay. I'm just happy the game's changing. And
no, but it looks hilarious. And have you been that type that's always been drawn to animal humor?
I've always grown up with dogs and stuff and had pets and always loved it. And this is just a great opportunity for, and we wanted to make these animals not just like just for kitty, it's not like a kitty little thing, it's for kids, but it's for everybody. So these guys are kind of like just like buddies hanging out, but they're animals. It's like your best friends, but they're just animals. And it's kind of a cool little twist on it. We got a great cast in the movie, and there's just a lot of action, and there's everything, there's something for everybody.
Yeah.
So you were in TV for so long, and now you've transitioned into film, and you've done a lot of films lately. Do you have a preference? Do you like one over the other?
I love film, what I'm doing now, but stand up because it's the same as doing a live TV show. It's so much more similar to that because of that live audience you have. We shot The King and Queens in front of a live audience, so it was like stand up. You would get that immediate reaction from an audience, and I miss that. You can't, that's hard on a film set because you can't have the crew laughing at you, so sometimes you just. You worry that your stuff. You got to just trust your instincts, whether it's going well or not. And people will tell you it's funny afterwards, and you just got to trust it and then edit it. And it's the problem with film is such a long process. We shot this movie; it took 2 years to make this thing.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, and it's frustrating because once you have something that's fun and good, and you think it's gonna be great, it's such a long wait to get it out. So I'm just excited to finally get this thing out.
Man, you look good. Look like you dropped a few.
I had to. I did another movie where I play a biology teacher who ends up trying to save the music program for a friend, and I moonlight as a mixed martial arts fighter. So I go to the UFC, and it's got Salma Hayek and Henry Winkler in it, and it's a fun movie. We just got finished. So I had to be a little legit in that area, so I worked out a lot, but I'm going to blow back up, I promise.
Yeah, you're all buffed up. It looks like hit the gym pretty good.
I did for a while. Believe it or not, I think I'm like 20, 25 pounds up from where I was. So I got in decent shape, but I can't let it get away from me too far.
And you played football, right?
I did. I was a running back in high school and in college. I went to a Division III school, and that's where I realized the dream was pretty much over. When you suck at Division III, it's time to tell jokes. You got to change when people are beating you there.
This is Kevin James in studio with us here on The Ticket. So tell us a little bit about the movie. Are you the zookeeper in the movie?
I am the zookeeper. I'm a great zookeeper. I love the animals. I take care of them, and they love me back, and it's really cool. And it's we got a great relationship with them, and I take care, like I said, take care of them. But I have I don't do so well in the love department. That's the problem. Mm-hmm. And they see this, and they try to come to my aid. And I think I got to change who I am to try to impress the ladies, and especially the one I love. And they see that I might leave the zoo, and they kind of freak out, and they break their code, and they end up talking to me.
Is TGI Fridays really that good?
It is with Nick Nolte. When you go with Nick Nolte, it's pretty crazy. It gets insane, and we rip it up. So we have a good time there.
All right, Killer, do you have any questions for Kevin James?
I actually have two questions.
All right, Killer.
Okay.
First of all, good morning.
Good morning. Hey, thanks for being here, Kevin.
You got it. Thank you for having me.
I appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Thanks for letting me be here with you.
Thank you.
So, how did you and Sandler get together? Was it the Chuck and Larry movie, or
I knew Sandler from stand up days. I had met him. He had been doing it, a lot longer than I had at the time. But I just came in, and he was really nice to me. It was just a quick meeting there, and we didn't become friends or anything. I just said hello to him, and he was on his way, and he was doing SNL and all that stuff. And then when I got The King of Queens, I was on the Sony lot with him, and I saw that he was there, and we just got. He put me in 50 first dates for literally, I think, 3 seconds. I'm in the movie, but he was just so nice about it. And we just kept saying we wanted to work together. And he finally did. He put me in Chuck and Larry. And we just developed such a great friendship, and you know, our families are tight, and we have such a great time together that we, you know, we love working together. And it's great having him there, because he's a guy who's been so successful, and putting this thing out there, and he kind of shows me the way. You know, he really does. He's really been awesome.
All his movies are funny. I mean, he does so great,
and he's got great people. Man, he helps everybody. I'm telling you, he helps. He's such a good guy that he just helps everybody on the set. You know, everybody's so thankful to be working for the guy, and he's just a good dude.
So Grown Ups had been really awesome for all of you guys then.
Oh, man, we had a blast making it, and it was so much fun, and like I said, he takes care of everybody.
We're told we got to go, because we know you have a tight schedule.
You're the best.
One more?
Yeah, go ahead.
But Killer's got one more.
Who's hotter, Leah Remini or Rosario Dawson?
Hotter is in the eye of the beholder, yeah, I think. Yeah, I think the problem is when you see them both and you try to start, you know... I think of my own ass, and I think it's pretty bad. I have no right to be judging either of them, really. But they're both beautiful, honestly. They really are.
Is this the first time?
Did that straighten it out to you for you?
No.
Okay.
Kevin, is this the first time you fielded questions from somebody named Killer?
With such a sweet voice, yeah, absolutely. It's counteractive there, but it's nice. I enjoyed it.
I enjoy you.
Thank you, Killer.
That's well, good nice luck with the movie there. Zookeeper. It opens July 8th, and we know George will be there for the first.
He'll be there Thursday night.
Oh yeah, Thursday night, camping out.
Kevin James, thank you very much. Pleasure to see you again. That's great, Kevin James, Zookeeper. By the way, we've been giving away tickets to see the premiere of Zookeeper next week. You can go to theticket.com for complete details there. A return visit here in studio by Kevin James. He was with us a few years ago to promote Paul Blart Mall Cop, and he's back.
It always just seems like the, you know, guys just have that good vibe to him. Mm-hmm. Always thought that in King of Queens. I always thought he had a good vibe to him.
Yep.
And he's that way in person. He's just very... easy to talk to, and man, I think he's hilarious on screen.
Was that the first time since Pat Sajak that you've interviewed a Hollywood type celebrity?
Yes.
When they're giving us the wrap up signal, don't ask a third question.
You were awesome, Killer. Seriously,
I think he enjoyed you.
I think you guys did.
There was chemistry there.
Yeah, I think you reminded him of Paul Blart just a little bit. He was into you.
It's a little awkward.
He's a role model for me.
Mm-hmm.
Is he?
Yeah.
That's
Paul
guys,
Blart
man.
Or Kevin James?
Just Kevin James.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Kevin James, and he's a role model. I want to live my life like Kevin James.
Yeah. Good luck.
It was a little awkward for all of us. He sat down, we asked him one question, and then I looked up and the handler was giving us the wrap-up sign.
Come on.
1 minute into
Kevin James
it.
Is tickets own. We, you know, we can hang out with him for more than a minute, can't we?
You would think. All right, Killer.
Oh, man.
Anything else you'd like to add to the Kevin James interview or the corner in general?
No. Oh, follow me at killer1310 at twitter.com.
Boy, he's
gets
old.
In some self-promotion.
Absolutely.
Okay. How do you think your run today went as Gordo's replacement for a day?
I think it's been okay. I think I gave you what you expected, a bumpy ride.
Yeah. You know. What sort of feedback are you getting?
I've got some positive stuff. Someone compared me to Stephen Wright on my delivery of the Muse in the News.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Very, very dry, very
bad.
Bad delivery of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
Any negative feedback or emails or hateful
I've been told
words?
I've been told I've been fairly painful by a couple people. But most people told me to just keep barreling through it and fight, make it happen. So.
What do you think was your best segment?
You know what? I probably started out, the O-Deck was probably my best segment, my very first one.
We talked about Six Flags.
Yeah, I mm-hmm. had more knowledge about that one.
Mm-hmm.
The interview was so bad that I actually love it because it's so bad. The Nick Swisher?
I still haven't recovered from that. My kidneys still hurt.
That makes me happy. Sorry, George. Mm-hmm.
That's okay.
Someone says you're the official bottle rocket of the ticket because you build momentum and then lose it really fast, as you said.
Yes.
That's how you describe yourself, telling a story.
I do.
So it's a herky-jerky ride. Well, thanks for filling in for Gordo. We appreciate the help today.
Good morning, boys. I appreciate you guys letting me come in today.
Mm-hmm. All right. You take care of yourself, Killer.
Thank you very much.
There he goes, the Killer. It's 928 on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. That is The Corner. Coming up next...